Today is Easter and Resurrection, and it's the title is What is Love? Now today, the word love continues to be more confusing. We have heard messages that love is more than a feeling. We've heard that it's an action. It's a commitment. And we've also heard the phrase, love is a verb. Now, in the last year, we have heard the word love, and it, in some ways, it has been hijacked or abused more than maybe in the past. And I believe that the water is going to get a little bit muddier as life goes on about what love is. And so today we hear phrases that are stated about what love is. For instance, during the pandemic, we heard one of our state leaders say, limit your time together and don't accidentally kill someone. Right? That's funny, and yet it is not necessarily what love is. There are two kingdoms in this world. There is the kingdom of shame, and there's the kingdom of honor. And when we look at Scripture today, hopefully we'll walk away with some idea of what love looks like. Not what the world says. But over the last year, we've heard people say phrases like, stay away from people, because that's the best way to love people. Social distance is the best way to love people. Now, I'm just posing this question, is social distancing really love? In some ways, I understand. But hear me out. This has been a difficult year for us to figure out what to do and how to act. And we need to look at Scripture and realize that God has the answer to what love is. Looks like. We've asked tough questions like, should I go out or stay home? Should I shop or should I not? But what's really sad is that there has been a great divide. And in fact, the public, the media, has muddied the waters in some ways. And we've heard things that have been divisive. And so we hear people say wear a mask. We know people say social distance. We have other people over here say don't wear masks, don't social distance. And so we have this divide. And some of us have been upset, and I'm not saying you guys because you guys are loving, but upset that others are violating pandemic norms and have taken to social media or other forms to shame those caught in the act. In fact, one mayor in a city, not our state, but another city in another state, urged residents to socially shame anyone not wearing a mask or gathering in the large groups. I think it goes both ways, doesn't it? Shaming. And today people shame others for not agreeing with their personal beliefs. Today, if I don't agree with your philosophy or your belief system, then I am unloving. That is not love. In fact, I would say agreeing to disagree is more loving than shaming or demanding someone to do something or to act the way you want them to act. Think about how many times you've disagreed with your spouse or your loved one and or your family member, and you have still tried to love them anyway. You disagree, you fight, you you don't get along, and yet at the end of the day, you still love them. But loving others and love in general is complicated, isn't it? In fact, there's a post. There was a post in HuffPost. It says this: in light of this, maybe the best way we can say in is that love in the Bible, like love in our everyday lives, is important, complicated, and at times a bit squishy. That is, it is too powerful and mysterious to be fully defined and grasped by any of us. That's why we need God's description. We need God's help in knowing what love is. And so let's look at one scripture here. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8 tells us what love isn't. And you can pull out of that what it is when you look at this. 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Here's the deal. We are never going to be able to understand how to love others in a healthy way until we look at the way Jesus loved others profoundly, how we look at that profoundly, and then allow His love to be the love that flows through us. Because Scripture says, God is love. Good job. God is love. You're awake. I can see that. Yeah. So, three things that God's love is. I'm sure we could come up with a million. But three things this morning. Number one, love that seeks. God's love seeks. Number two, God's love is selfless. And number three, God's love is sacrificial. The first one, I want to give you a story, tell you a story that you might appreciate. You may relate with it. It was spring break. We had one of our kids at home. Her name is Maddie. And we had decided to plan an outing to go to a place called Defy. And we went down there to jump on trampolines. And this place has, you can jump off a 16-foot cliff, jump into a pile of foam blocks, and you can go and jump on trampolines and play dodgeball and hit each other. There's a place where you can jump and you can walk up a wall and then land on the trampoline again. It's just an incredible place. And there's one there that is a zip line where you hang on to the bars. You're about, 10 feet above the blocks of foam, and you go about 50 feet, and then you fall into this thing of thousands and thousands of 1 square foot foam blocks. Now, when you slide down and you let go, you get stuck in this pile of blocks, and it's difficult for some to get out. But that was the least of my problems, because I had just taken a picture, a video, of Maddie going down and sliding and jumping into the blocks, and then I decided to go. So I put my phone in my pocket, and I got up. I went up the ladder, and I got onto this slide, this slid down the cable, and fell into the blocks. Got out, and we went and did other things. The next thing I know, I'm thinking, I'm going to take a video. And I couldn't find my phone. It had been lost. And so I freaked out. I went to the last place I remember, and you know where that was? that was in the sea of foam blocks. And it wasn't just 4 feet wide, but it was 4 feet deep of blocks. And so for an hour, hour and a half, we looked for my phone. And we put a report in. And we every time a kid went down, we would take a minute and we'd look. We had another family of kids that were saying, well, can we help you find it? And I had Maddie and Susan and me and the worker, we were all looking for this phone. And we prayed. And I prayed again, very loud. I don't know if anybody heard me, but I am loud. As I was sitting in the middle of the pile of foams, I reached down, and right between two blocks was my phone, vertical. I didn't see it, I felt it. And I pulled it up and was like, yes, I found it. And I said, praise the Lord. And so I was so relieved. I found my phone. Now, a phone is just a thing, but it has important information in it. It's a great tool. But Jesus tells us a story that is similar in the Gospel of Luke. He tells us about a coin in Luke 15, 8 through 10. It says, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And then she finds it. She calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Jesus continues and talks. He actually shares three stories in this passage. One about a sheep, one about a coin, and one about a person, a son. But the phone is important. I said that. But Jesus drew out one point. Jesus drew out that the coin and the phone are just things. But a person's soul is what's most important. And so Jesus' love seeks. In fact, in Luke 15, he says that he will leave the 99 and go search for the one sheep to find it. This is the love of God that seeks after the sinner until he finds them. I know this from experience because I was lost when I was doing my own thing as a teenager. And I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus sought after me as he sought after you, just like this story with the coin and the sheep and the lost son. And so this is the love that God has for us. He sets aside everything to go find us. That's number one. God's love is seeking love. Number two, the second love is selfless love. This is love that sets aside their desires and puts the other person first. Like a mom who chooses to feed their kids before they eat, and maybe their food is cold. Or taking care of kids in the middle of the night when they are sick and losing lots of sleep because of it. Or someone who works late hours of the night, working hard to provide for their family. This is what selfless love looks like. Jesus showed this love to us. While he was on the cross, he was looking at his enemies and he was saying a prayer for them. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And many times, Jesus showed us this love by loving the least fortunate, the sick, the lepers, and even his enemies. Many times, he had the opportunity to take revenge, to retaliate, to even take charge of his own rights, but he didn't. He chose to love and forgive his enemies. We all have someone in our life that is labeled EGR. That means extra grace required. And some of us have the EE, extra, extra grace required, right? We have those people. And how should we love those EGRs? Only with the love of God can we do that. Jesus showed us, but then when we allow him to come into our hearts, we can love others like he did, like the Good Samaritan, like Jesus. This is selfless love. This is God's love. And the third love that I want to point out this morning is the sacrificial love. Romans 6, or 5, 6 through 8 says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." That's you and I, before we met Christ. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I want to tell you another story that was, I think, a good analogy for this, and that is, this last week, a friend of mine had come to our house to walk our dogs, and we were doing our own normal things, schoolwork, and I was working on the computer, and Danny came to our house to walk our dogs, and as he left our dogs back into our care, and he's walking home to get a cup of coffee, he has a new puppy that's 9 months old, and he's walking home, and we hear this horrific sound of two dogs in a outright war. And I ran out there, and what I saw was this other dog attacking Danny's dog, and by the time I got to him, he was on the ground with his arms around his puppy, protecting this puppy from being killed by this other dog. And in the process of that attack, Danny got some wounds on his feet, on his hands, and one had to be stitched, and he had to get a tetanus shot and all that stuff. And the dog didn't get much at all, because Danny put his arms around the dog, picked the dog up, started to walk away, was attacked, and he protected and took care of his dog. Now, just to let you know, Danny and his dog are doing great. They're a lot better now. But I thought of that story because that story represents someone sacrificing their life for someone else. I understand it's a dog, but the idea is that Jesus sacrificed his life for us. Amen? He sacrificed. This is love. What Danny did to the dog was called sacrificial love. Jesus shows us what this love looks like, and then he acted it out. 1 John 3:16 says, interesting, John 3:16 and 1 John 3:16, they're both different verses, but you'll get this when I say it. This is how we know what love is. You were asking the question. We were asking the question at the first. What is love? This is what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And it continues. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Why did Jesus sacrifice his life? Why did God the Father sacrifice his only Son? Because of great love for us. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Love is not love by itself. God is love. His love is first seeking after us. His love is second, selfless. His love is third, sacrificial. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. So what is our response to this love? Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. He is our righteousness. He is our defense. He is everything we need. You see, Easter is more than just candy, eggs, and bunnies, and it's great stuff, but it's not the reason. Jesus is the love of Easter. It's all about Jesus seeking and his selflessness and his sacrifice love for all of us. Without the blood of Jesus, we would be lost. You and I would be lost. And so that's why we sing that Amazing Grace song. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I'm not going to say that you guys are wretches, but you definitely saved me, and I was a wretch. But then it continues and says, but now I am found, was blind, but now I see. It's amazing when you give your life to Jesus, when you realize that he does love you, when you realize that he did sacrifice his life for you, and you give your life back to him, you begin to realize what that looks like, how that plays out in life, how to love people. That's what happens, is the love of Jesus starts to flow in you. And so Jesus' love is seeking. It is selfless, and it is sacrificial. As we conclude this morning in gratitude for Jesus, we're going to take communion, and we're going to sing a couple more songs. But I want you to hear this verse first. This is a list, but it is a good list. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails.